When you have a newborn baby, you actually need so little.
Sometimes having so many things will actually lead to more anxiety and stress.
When you need a nipple shield at 3 a.m., even like the next day delivery Amazon, it's too many hours.
Dr. Morgan is going to go through what's in her postpartum cart.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I am your co-host, Dr. Morgan McDermott, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Leah and I share our natural women's health and motherhood guidance that you've been looking for through our fresh, functional, and balanced lens. And today is the baby registry, postpartum supplies, what's in your postpartum cart episode that I've been asked about for years that I've not done and not really organized, but now because I'm about to have my fifth baby, it's all top of mind. And I am sharing with you today sort of the mecca, the gold, the what if I, as a doctor now of, and or sorry, a mother now of almost 10 year, no, I am sharing with you the mecca of, you know, what are all of the products that I use as a naturopathic doctor, perinatal health expert, someone who's steeped in this field and talks about it all day, every day, but also has now almost 5 children for the last 10 years. So these are products that are tried and true. They're my actual true favorite brands. They're the things that were literally on my baby registry list this time around again, or they're the things that I'm unpacking from closets that I've kept for the last 10 and a half years. And I'm just really excited to share it all with you of the reason why I like these things. And then also the reason why I don't buy other things, because there's so many baby products out there and so many things that are marketed to women in this day and age, specifically new first-time moms too, that are so unnecessary and you do not need them. And I try to be very cost-effective, clean, natural. I don't know, I'll share all my reasoning. So this is definitely a big one. It's a longer episode and nobody's really that surprised by it, but all of the show or the links are in the show notes and I hope that you get a lot of value out of this. So let's go ahead and go.
Okay. Welcome back, you guys. We have a really amazing episode today because Dr. Morgan is going to go through what's in her postpartum cart and talk about the things she actually loves, the brands that she uses. And I feel like this is probably one of the most helpful things that a pregnant woman could look at right now, because it is very overwhelming to know what you need, what are actually good brands, by someone who's done this now almost 5 times. And just, we have kind of sifted through what are good brands. You know, I see some things in influencers' recommendations for stuff and I'm just like, no, you guys, either they're not very clean, they don't work well, or they just, it's very clear they're missing the boat. And I feel like you, of all the people in the whole world, who I'd be like, who is the top most epitome person who is like, what's the best person to tell me all the things? It's you. And so how exciting that we get to learn from you. So why don't you tell us all of your favorite stuff?
Hey, thanks. Okay, well, one thing I just want to say is that I'm not like a rich person. Okay, so I do not spend excess money on anything in general in life. Probably the most expensive thing that in my life is always food and food quality. So I am not somebody who owns every little gadget. I don't care. You and I are the same. We don't do nails. Mm-hmm. We don't do eyelashes. We don't do, you know, like any of that stuff. So there is no superfluous purchases here that are not for a real reason. And if there is something that is kind of more expensive, I'll explain my reasoning as to why I think that it's important.
Yeah.
But honestly, I am a minimalist. I do not like junk everywhere. Walking into a place like Bye Bye Baby, which is what's the other store that's kind of like, it's like another like three word dun, 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 but it's like a home goods type store where they've oh my gosh, what's that called? Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, Bed Bath. Yes. Oh, yes.
So Bye Bye Baby. I think they're the same company.
Probably. I'm sure the same company owns every big box store now.
They're all owned by Nestle. Probably. Who actually is all owned by Elon Musk.
Totally. Oh my God. We're going to Mars. We're bringing Bye Bye Baby to Mars. It's going to be great.
It's really just Elon Musk against the world. Oh my gosh, I saw the most insane graphic about what actually it means to be a trillionaire.
Oh, now he's my a trillionaire. God. Yeah.
And it was like the amount that you had to keep scrolling on the bar graph to understand the difference between $1 billion and $1 trillion was absolutely mind blowing to me. Okay, anyway, let me get back to this. But walking into a place like Bye Bye Baby is so infuriating. It's not only overwhelming and like you want to just crawl out of your skin, but it makes me legitimately angry and mad because I'm just like the dumb shit. Sorry, I'm going to say it. That companies try to sell to parents pisses me off. And when you're a first-time mom and you don't really know what you need and what you don't need, it's confusing. And it's like, well, what about this? What about that? And here's the thing is these are my opinions, okay? But I feel like I have some clout, all right? I'm a naturopathic doctor. I am a specialist in this field. I talk to women who are having babies day in and day out. This is the field I am steeped in. And then this is my personal fifth baby. So like all of these things are the things I actually use, have used for now over 10 years. And I'm going to tell you the reasons why, because, or if something is newer, like I didn't use it with my first, I'm using it now because still I think that it's the best of all of the options that are there. And you're going to probably notice a big lack too of certain things I'm not going to talk about that you're like, wow, you don't use that thing. And I'm like, no, I don't use that thing. I don't. And here's the reasons again, because I like to be a minimalist too. Yeah. Okay. So,
and that will help your nervous system just for people who are like, but I need to have all the things. Like there is one person who's maybe comforted by, I have to have all the things that will calm me down. But on the flip side, sometimes having so many things will actually lead to more anxiety and stress, especially with having a baby. So if you have your go-to things that are actually good and practical and useful versus I have 1,000 things, because I was given a bunch of hand-me-downs, which I'm so grateful for from my sister-in-law. It was wonderful. But sometimes it was just too much that I actually felt more overwhelmed, and I wish I could have started from scratch in a way of just getting the few essential things that actually, you know, mattered.
Yeah, exactly. I'm even just taking note right now of what I don't buy, some things that I know a lot of people will buy and I just don't. So I'll talk about those at some points because they just don't work. Here's the thing too, is when you have a newborn baby, you actually need so little, so very little. And you can add to what you own that's in relation to your child or you in time once you get to that point, if you decide that you need it. I also think it's a very, very good idea to try to borrow from friends. So say like, if you don't have any friends in your community who have little kids and stuff, then I get it. That's not going to be a thing. But if you do, say, hey, can I borrow your like swing or whatever and just see if my baby even likes it? Because you know what? It's advertised like every baby is going to love this thing and they don't. There's a couple of different types of babies who really hate that kind of thing. Mine included. Okay. So that was never something that was going to be a good purchase. I mean, like, I think I did get one maybe as a borrow for with my first, and I was like, this is a racket. I don't even want to, you know, okay. Let me back up. So I broke this into sections of things that are sort of more geared towards me, and then some things that are geared towards the baby, and then specialty situations like my breastfeeding supplies, perineal health, the supplements that I think are really helpful. And this is where, as a doctor, you know, definitely have like a superior kind of opinion on these things because we can know what is safe in breastfeeding and not. And if you're not breastfeeding, then the world is your oyster. Go take whatever you want to take. But if you are, and you're trying to be repleting of your nutrients, there's specific ways and approaches to go about it. So I will tell you that way. So that is kind of how I have it. And I have it starting off with breastfeeding supplies, but maybe let's just do that. Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
I think that it is the intention of the vast majority of people to breastfeed, and you don't know how it's going to go for you. I mean, nobody wants it to be difficult, but you just don't know whether it's your anatomy, your baby's anatomy, something else, the way the birth went, like just bad advice, who knows, but there's a lot of different reasons why it can be hard or you may need more tools. I recognize that this is the area where I do get like the bougiest or the most excessive with accessories and supplies because I have so many problems.
Right.
And my baby's breastfeeding problems all revolve around the fact that they are born with lip and tongue ties that are pretty severe. We do go get them released, but still as they are learning their new mouths, they're latched on me and they are damaging my nipples. And I have to be really careful and conscious to use certain things and methods and strategies to not get mastitis, to not get thrush and other infections. Some people will choose to like pump in that time. And I don't even have a pump on this list. Actually, I'll tell you right now, if you're looking for my pump recommendation, I am not your person because I have not pumped since my, for almost 10 years. Like my husband, oh my God, my youngest was the only one that reliably took a bottle. And I was in medical school with him and I used the Medela pump and style. And that's the pump that I still have. And it does still work. And if I have to pump, I would use that. Actually, no, I will tell you, I do enjoy the Medela hand pump. Okay. Mm, I wasn't even going to say this. I forgot about this. I'm glad that I'm saying it now because the Medela hand pump rules. It's so easy and it's just awesome. So you like, you squeeze it on your own self. You just do one breast at a time. But if I have to pump for some reason, okay, cool. But otherwise I'm not a pumper. So sorry, I'll tell you up front.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be comparing and contrasting the EV with the Willow with the blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Perfect. For me with breastfeeding, nipple damage is a really big deal. It may not be for you and that's fine, but you just don't know. And what I have found, there is no cream, no ointment, no lanolin or, you know, even Mother Love. And like there are well-made brands, but there is nothing that compares to the Silverette nipple cups.
Mm-hmm. Love
literally
them.
Nothing.
They are the best.
I wish. And the answer is no. It's just not going to be, it's not going to touch. These Silverette nipple cups, you guys, you have to get that brand too, because there are a million billion knockoffs on Amazon that are probably like titanium or something else that's not silver. If it's not true, real good silver, then there is no point in buying them. It's not for the protection of them being like a little army shield in your bra. It's the fact that they're real silver sitting up against your tissue, and you can like squirt a couple little drops of milk or colostrum in there and it kind of holds that up against you. But it's antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, everything. It's helps your tissue heal so fast in comparison to any other method. I'm obsessed. And personally, it's so nice to have that physical barrier of protection, keeping your nipple kind of like off your clothes and stuff. Because if you do have any kind of nipple wounds and you have sensitive nipples, I guess if you don't have sensitive nipples, you wouldn't really feel it. But to me, every nerve ending on my body is inside my nipples. They all end in my nipples. Yeah. Wherever they start, who knows? But they all go. And there's trillions, okay? Speaking of the graph earlier, there's trillions of nerves there. And so it is the most painful thing. It's the worst absolute thing ever to me for like my shirt or my bra to touch my damaged nipples in early postpartum.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, in case you're not sure, they're literally little silver discs, you know, and they go over your nipples, like you said, and then you can wear a bra and kind of hold them there. But and I'm sure you'll get to this, but in case you don't, the cool thing about the Silverettes, because they're actually silver, is that at the end, when you're done having kids, they turn it into a little like necklace or charm or something, which is so cute.
Oh, wait, you mean the company will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Silverettes. I mean, I'm sure there are knockoffs, but I know for sure Silverettes. Yeah, they melt it down. They melt the silver down and then make like a little piece of jewelry or whatever it is that you want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As we're talking about birth and postpartum support, I want to share an underrated tip with you. That tip is to continue taking your prenatal. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally demanding phases of a woman's life. Many women stop taking their prenatal after birth, but we recommend taking it for at least the first 9 months postpartum or the entirety of the time that you're breastfeeding. My favorite prenatal is Needed's Prenatal Multi, and it's the most robust formula that I've seen in the market. It contains bioavailable nutrients in their evidence-based dosages, well above the bare minimum that a lot of prenatals settle for. Their quality standards are top tier with transparent third-party testing, and over 10,000 practitioners now recommending the brand. And now we have the results from their IRB-approved clinical study that confirm the results of what we've been seeing clinically. Women who take the Prenatal Multi have significantly higher blood levels of critical nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum. This includes vitamin D, B6, B12, riboflavin, vitamin K2. Only women in the Needed group reach the adequate, sufficient levels of vitamin D. Vitamin D plays a big role in your immune health, your mood, and your energy production, all things that are really important during your postpartum season. And while there's many different ways that you can support yourself postpartum, continuing to take your prenatal is a really simple, easy way to cover all your bases. It's one of the most impactful habits that we can have, and Needed makes it easy. Learn more about the study at thisisneeded.com/thrive and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Yes, healthy mother, like a little affirmation for yourself. Oh my gosh, cool. What I thought you were going to say, because you can do this too. You can sterilize them because they're real silver. And so you can pass them along to people. Like, you don't have to have your own. It feels like you know, with pumps, they'll be like, you should buy your own pump. Mm-hmm. And it feels like something that's been on your nipples should probably have your own one. But no, you can sterilize them and give them on to somebody else or something. So there's one little other little tidbit there. Another thing that I have used in the past that I use way less now because of the Silverettes, but I still do enjoy a lot, is the Lancino hydrogels. Mm. So they're kind of like a hydrogel is like a sort of a bioengineering tool in medicine where the top wound care theories are to keep the wound like moist, mm-hmm. and it allows all of the cells to slide around on each other easier, find their new matrix place. It allows, you don't want it to get dry. Like, I mean, obviously that happens and you scab over and whatever, but if you can keep it kind of wet and moist, but in a clean way, then it's going to heal much faster. And so the hydrogels can help with that. Mm-hmm. I will definitely have some of these sitting next to me, but probably my 99% of the time go-to will be the Silverettes. The hydrogels you can put in the fridge. They can be helpful for like kind of cooling off too, but they really do also help with the healing.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Another one is a shield. So I know that this is controversial, and I do not suggest that people just go willy-nilly on shields. I think nipple shields need to be used intentionally and with a plan to get off of them as quick as possible. And you're doing it for a reason. I guess that is the definition of intentionality. Mm-hmm. So sometimes with my babies in those first couple of, you know, maybe not the first day, but maybe it's day three while I'm waiting for them to get revised on day four. If things are so bad, I'll use a shield for like 24, 48 hours. That's kind of been the way that I've done it. With my son, when I didn't know what I was doing, I used a shield for a couple of weeks and I wasn't using it right and it was terrible. So I was very nervous to use them again with any other future babies. But with my second, I had a great experience of using the Medela nipple shield. Mm-hmm. And it's so thin and it's as easy as it can be for a baby to be able to like suck it up into their mouth and include your nipple in there. The reason why we need to be careful with shields and shield use is that over time, unless your baby has a really rockin' efficient latch, which usually if you're using a shield, they don't. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole reason why you're using it. Mm-hmm. Unless they have a rockin' latch, they're not going to be able to get as much milk out of you as easily. It's like, imagine if you were trying to milk a cow and there was this like hard plastic cover over the teat and the way that your hand had to go and grip it. And it would just you just wouldn't be able to get out as much output as easily. You'd probably fatigue a little easier. You'd stop a little sooner because you'd be like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like that's enough. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it goes for the babies too. You tend to have an issue with full complete emptying of the breasts. And so then that can lead to things like clogged ducts, mastitis, but also just slowly kind of eroding the milk supply, which is nerve wracking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think shields to be used here and there. One thing I will not say is to get any kind of like big bulky shield that's thick plastic, thick silicone, anything that's, okay. I don't know the brand now. I forgot what it's called, but there's a brand now where it like shows the milk going. There's like a little tube, almost like a butterfly needle where it'll like flash the blood so that you can make sure you're in, but it'll flash the milk for you so that you can see that your baby is like suckling and getting milk. And I think that those sorts of things are gimmicky and rooted in provoking your anxiety that you think that you need to, you will see milk in the shield itself when your baby unlatches. You'll hear them gulping and drinking. Like, look at your baby. Try to figure out if your baby is doing what they need to do. You do not need to see the milk. I am not a fan of those. I'm also not a fan of any kind of breastfeeding apps, Huckleberry, whatever. I don't care what it's called. Anything that is tracking how much you nurse, what side, how much you think that they got. I mean, unless there is a situation, even if there is a situation, those kinds of apps for the type of woman who would usually find them is like a data tracker type A person who needs to drop into their feminine and just trust that their baby is okay and look at the baby and look at the signs and symptoms of a baby gaining weight. Maybe they need to weigh them once a week or, you know, count diaper output or something like that. But not be plugging things into a phone and an app and then hyper obsessing about what that means. because I've seen it be the end of breastfeeding so many times, like the end of breastfeeding. It's ridiculous. I think that the intention of the apps is, oh, here, this can be like an Oura Ring or something, you know, like, okay, I do actually wear an Oura Ring. So as much as I'm not a device person, I love my Oura Ring.
Yeah.
But I could see that if you were really health anxious, you would maybe get like tripped up over some of the scores and obsessing over things and
what it means.
Yeah, what it means for you and your health and whatever. And it's just breastfeeding calls on us to be in a working dance tandem with our babies and to drop so much of the cognition.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for some people. It was impossible for me with my first. I ramped up the other direction and I was miserable, but I didn't really understand what I was doing. I was just trying to get by, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember when I found my therapist, Abby, the one that I've talked about many times on this podcast, who kind of like yelled at me and stuff. She's too old now to see over the phone, but when I lived in San Diego, she was amazing. But I remember my very first meeting with her, trying to tell her, because I was pregnant with Savi. I was pregnant with my second, and I was meeting with her specifically so I could work on some things because I had a lot of fear around postpartum again. Mm-hmm. And so I was explaining why I had fear around postpartum, what happened in my first postpartum. And here I am rattling off all, I've had mastitis this many times, and then he would get this many ounces, and then this many ounces, and then he gained weight like this, and then this happened. And that it was all like numbers and data. Mm-hmm. And she was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And at first when she was criticizing me about the weight, not criticizing, but she was calling me out to be like, are you even able to tell that story and explain what motherhood is like for you without all the numbers? And I was like, what do you mean? But it really took a long time for me to understand what she was saying. Mm-hmm. I had gotten way too like robotic about it all.
Yep.
So anyway,
before you go on, for the nipple shield, is it true that if, depending on how much your nipples stick out, you might need a nipple shield more? Like for someone listening to this, like me, I never needed a nipple shield, but I have very, I don't know what the word is.
Sticky outy.
Erect nipples. You know, like there's a lot for the baby to latch onto. If you're a person who has nipples that aren't as protrudy or whatever, it might be a sign that like for sure you probably need to put this in your cart, or could it happen to anybody and it doesn't really matter?
So the damage could happen to anybody, because if the baby's mouth is really poor, even like on you, they still could have damaged you to where you need a little bit of that barrier between your skin and their mouth for a couple days.
So it's more of a protection from damage versus I'm trying to give an extension of my nipple for them to
help. Well, no. So it can be both. It's like pretty much 50-50. So you don't really know. They're like $7 though. So I just put them in your cart, because here's the thing. When you need a nipple shield at 3 a.m., even like the next day delivery Amazon, it's too many hours. I mean, you might be feeding that baby six more times between now and when the nipple shields come and you're dying. Like this is like the baby registry episode of baby registry episodes, right? Like I think everybody should just have them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't use them, great. Give them to somebody else. I don't know. Pass them on. Because sometimes you're preventing yourself from getting damaged. And sometimes you are helping a baby who's maybe your nipples kind of flat or inverted like mine were when I first set out. And so there isn't that much tissue to grab. And if they have a bad latch, so it's not to say that if you have flat or inverted nipples, you're doomed. But in the situation where you also have a baby with a poor latch, it is harder. Mm-hmm. It is going to be harder. So maybe you can just work through it without, and you just raw dog it and you go for it and it's all good. And maybe you need to use a shield for a short period of time while you're working on things.
Got it.
Okay. I guess this is kind of like pumpy also. It's not really like a normal situation. I know you really love this product too, but I am obsessed with the Hakka hand pump, the little silicone hand pump. I don't actually use it. You can like sit there and like pump it, like squeeze it in and out and kind of do that thing. I use it to collect on the opposite side that I am not nursing on because I'm an extremely leaky boob person. And so with my last three babies, I have been able to store up like 20 to 30 ounces in the freezer just to have, whether I use them ever or not, which has happened a couple times where I haven't used them. I just give it to somebody else at the end of like a year, because my babies just don't take bottles, which hopefully this one will. Although I'm like, when am I actually going to even give her a bottle? Like, I don't know. It's just more of a safety blanket, I think. But I'm so leaky. It's like, okay, I can just leak into a pad, which I'll talk about in a moment, or I can collect this. So when I'm, especially in the early days, when you have so much kind of like extra milk, your body's trying to figure out, do I have one baby, two babies, no babies? How many babies do we have here? you can get a lot. And so Hakka also makes this thing called the ladybug, which can fit inside your bra. And it's way less suction, but so it's more of a passive collector, but the silicone is so soft on it that I really don't worry or fear clogged ducts. Because with some of those milk collectors, they're hard plastic. You'll see like a ring around your nipple when you take them out. And that is with somebody like me, I just know myself, I'm very prone to clogged ducts and inflammation in my breasts. And so I cannot do that. I don't suggest it for anybody because you don't know if you're going to be one of those people. So why not just get something that's super soft? So the Hakka Ladybug and the Hakka Classic, just silicone pump, amazing tools for so many reasons.
Yeah. I love them too. I love the Hakka. It's the best.
Yeah. The Hakka, you collected more milk with the Hakka than you did your Spectra, like in a shorter amount of time. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it works really well for me. And you're always like, oh my God, isn't it like sucking really hard? I'm like, no, I love it. I mean, they were even more for me because I didn't have as much damage as you because my babies for some reason just didn't damage me as much. So if I had to put the two, I had the Silverettes as well, but I only had to use them for a week maybe or two, but I use the Hakka all the time, you know? And these are so, again, inexpensive or things that they're just so good for what they are. So I love it.
Yeah. And like they're easy. You buy it one time and you keep it and you have it with all your kids.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to get new ones. The hydrogels are disposable. Like you use them one or two times and then you get rid of it. But like Shields, these pumps, the Silverettes, it's all kind of like one-time purchase, which is nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Another disposable though is the disposable milk pads by Lancinot. They look like a little menstrual pad and they like have wings that you peel off and you stick them inside your bra like a little menstrual pad. And people give me so much shit about this. They'll be like, it's bad for the environment. Why are you using those? Use the bamboo ones. Okay. Let me tell you, I cannot explain how much milk I leak. It's like there's no, and this has to do with the little tiny smooth muscles around your nipple pore openings. Some people have really good tight, I don't know, smooth muscle that just like clamps it shut. And so they don't leak. It's not an indicator of your milk supply. So if you do not leak, it does not mean that you don't have excess milk. It doesn't mean that you don't have good milk. It literally has to do with like, does your smooth muscle clamp down enough? And you can't work that out. You cannot change it. It's not a variable you can do anything about. So I have like basically no smooth muscle, I feel like. And when I have a letdown, there's milk everywhere. And so if I'm out and about and I'm not going to be in a situation where I can collect on that other side, that opposite side, then I have to wear some kind of a pad. And if I was going to use the bamboo, like replaceable ones, I would have to own like 75 of them. And I don't think that is probably making that much of a difference in terms of like the grand scheme of environmental things. Plus, I did use those actually with my son and they don't wick the moisture away from your skin. And then I got thrush one time, which I swear was probably because of wearing those, because I had wet, warm, sticky, sweet milk sitting up against my boob, which was damaged. My nipple was damaged.
Yeah.
For way too long. Whereas the Lancinot disposable pad ones are, they kind of lay, it's like a diaper. It like wicks the moisture away from your skin.
Yeah. 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 There's a time and a place. It's like, I had a person in my membership ask about the toxicity of contact lenses and like the plastic use. And, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, we're like, well, do we do it? But it's like, there are grander, bigger things. And these are, we pick and choose our battles, right? Like the cookware that we use every single day might be different than, you know, these kind of things. So you just have to pick and choose the things that make sense.
Exactly. As our friend Eliza would say about any parenting thing, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Like what am I supposed to do? Like, okay, about contacts. It's like, well, they don't make them out of metal. So like,
I know.
They're not glass.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're just going to wear glasses? Like that can be fine for some people. It's highly inconvenient for other people. Like, and for me to wear the disposable pads for a couple of months, and then eventually as the first year goes on, it does become more manageable and I can wear something like just like a bamboo pad or something like that. But anyways, that one though, you could wait on, you don't have to purchase that immediately because you could see like, are you leaky? Are you not? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Another one for nipple healing and just so many uses in general is active skin repair. So I love active skin repair for kids. I feel like that's what most moms are thinking about it for, you know, scrapes, scratches, stings, bites, eczema, acne, diaper rash, anything like that, you can use Active Skin Repair, which is the active ingredient inside of it is called hypochlorous acid. Mm-hmm. Hypochlorous acid is something that our white blood cells naturally produce when there is skin or tissue damage. So this is a really beautiful kind of like bioengineering usage of a product mimicking the natural body's processes, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And so you can just get the one regular bottle. They come in like a baby and a kid and then a regular version. They're actually all the same formulation. They just had a problem with people like not understanding that you could use them on everyone. And so they decided to like label them differently. But I just use the one spray. They do make a gel too. I hardly ever use the gel. I did use the gel when my daughter burned her hand on the fireplace. And we like used an entire bottle of that over the course of a week and a half where we had to like keep her hand in like a little mitt. And that was crazy. But for most things, you can just use the spray. And I use it like you can use it on your nipples and just let it dry in between. You know, if your baby's just about to nurse, don't do that. But like right after nursing, you can use it. You can also use it on your perineum if you've torn or if you have any hemorrhoids that maybe or like a fissure, an anal fissure. So like as the butthole is stretching. Butthole. Such a funny butthole. Word, no matter how old you are.
The butthole. Anus.
As the anus is stretching during birth, it can tear a little bit in the, and this isn't like a, it's not a normal tear when we think about like a perineal tear. It can just be like within the folds of the anus and it's like a little tiny thing, but it can really hurt. But you can use Active Skin Repair for that. You can also use it for cesarean sutures once you get the tape off. So to help with the healing of your scar. There's a lot of different things postpartum and on your baby, you know, it's not going to do anything for cradle cap unless it was getting infected for some reason. But I do think that sometimes baby acne can look really gnarly and it can benefit from maybe like a little bit of just keeping it clean. Cause also if you're picking at it or if it gets really insane, it can become infected. So I'm a huge fan of that. By the way, all of these products and all of the, like, if we have any kind of a discount code for you, all of that's going to be in the show notes so that you can reap the benefits of that and also just find these products to be more accurate of like what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Three other things for breastfeeding, then we'll move on. So electrolytes, hugely helpful when you're breastfeeding and just recovery in general, even if you're not. All pregnant women and all breastfeeding women, you must be drinking electrolytes if you're, you know, if you want to hear what I think. Relight, Redmond Relight is our absolute go-to for this for so many different reasons, mainly because the salt source, the sodium source is the Redmond Real Salt that they get from the mine in Utah that is unrefined. It's ancient sea salt. It has 60 plus trace minerals in it. It is not just table salt.
Yeah.
Okay. Other common, very popular, well-branded electrolytes do really good with the influencers. And the product is crap. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it like, and it's double the cost of Relight. Relight costs 75 cents a dose. Other ones, four letter companies, whatever. They're like $1.50. So, or $1.25. So whatever it is. Try Relight. It tastes the exact same. And then it also has a really good balance. Like it has two different forms of magnesium. It actually contains calcium. It is amazing. It's superior in every way. It has way less, has like a third of the amount of stevia per packet than or per dose than some of those other ones, which I know people are really worried about stevia sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I personally am not because it doesn't affect me. You know, sometimes people do have sensitivities. I get it, but it's overall not a very high dose.
Yeah.
But when you're breastfeeding and you are making milk upwards of 30 ounces a day for your baby, and especially if you have multiples, that is coming from your blood. So breast milk is made from blood. That's just like the fact. Okay. We're not going to get into that, but your hydration levels do matter a lot and you'll still make that 30 ounces most of the time, unless like, you know, your dehydration gets really severe, but then you now will be like really dehydrated. Everything is going to work a lot better if we have all the electrolytes on board for our bodies to heal and deal with, like, you know, lack of sleep, and everything is going to struggle a little bit in that time because it's such an abrupt, big, huge change and the hormones have dropped and everything, all your cellular processes require sodium, potassium, calcium for any of their interactions, for anything to happen in your body. We are electrochemical beings. So that, I mean, I could talk about it for so much longer, but Redmond Relight for sure is my most favorite brand for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. Love that.
Okay, another one. If I have to increase my milk supply for some reason, like if I felt like it was low, or with my son, I kind of got into this cycle of I would get mastitis, I would lose my milk supply, I would pump and I would take herbs and get it back up, and then at some point get mastitis again, and then whatever. But my favorite company for Galactagogues. So Galactagogues are a class of herbs that help your body make more milk, is a company called Euphoric Herbals. I know there are other companies out there. There's much bigger companies, but Euphoric Herbals is a small little herbalist company that has been consistently helping me, I mean, for 10 years. So I'm kind of a loyalist to them. And they also have a lot of other products now. Back in the day, they just had like a few lactation blends. So I'm excited to see them grow. I think that's cool for them. And I like their milk machine and Le Leche something, something Le Leche. There's like a couple of them. So if you want fenugreek or you don't want fenugreek or you want, you know, there's, you got to look at the blends and the lists. But that's my favorite for that. And then I would say that nursing bras are another thing that people always want to know. Well, what's your favorite nursing bra? I mean, here's the thing, guys. Everybody's boobs are different. And so what you like and want in a nursing bra is going to change rapidly. I don't really like the kind that you like pull over. It's like two triangles that sort of overlap because I find that the like inner triangle, when my boobs are just not big enough. So I find that the, when I pull that inner triangle side over, it really presses into this. I have to make it like really press into the side of my breast to keep it there. Otherwise it'll just snap back over. And that can give me clogged ducts. Like, so I like the kind that click, you know, actually I'm wearing a nursing bra right now. Ready? Click. I hope you can hear that. And so there's like Embrace. Embrace makes some like cotton and, you know, non-synthetic, like non-polyester. Or it's called Our Embrace. Sorry, is the brand name. There's Bodily. There's Kinder Bravely. Like, it, there's a lot that I I wear for different phases and reasons too. Like in the beginning, my breasts are so much bigger than they normally are, so I need something very stretchy, very forgiving, but something that can still hold in my silverettes, that can still hold in a, like that Hakka Ladybug thing as I'm catching milk. So, you know, we all have different needs for that. So I don't really have a particular brand, but I just wanted to mention that because I know someone's going to ask. So. There you go. So now for my perineal health. So that was all breastfeeding. Now perineal health. I have been lucky enough to not tear again, other than with my first, but you need a peri bottle. Like you, you just do. I mean, unless you have a scheduled cesarean, you know, maybe your birth will end up in a cesarean. You don't know, but I think let's have some things for assuming it's going to have, you're going to have a vaginal birth. A peri bottle is like a little squeeze bottle that you use when you're going to urinate, because if you do have any like either legitimate tears or even micro tears or scrapes, your urine will burn that tissue and it hurts really badly. So even if you just fill up the peri bottle with warm water and then as you urinate or you're stooling, it's going to help you feel a lot more comfortable, but you can also put stuff in it. So you can put active skin repair in it. You can put peri, a sitz bath herb concoctions. So like Earthly makes a really good mix of sitz bath herbs, perineal health herbs that you could brew as like a strong tea and then use for a variety of different things. So you could put it in your peri bottle. You could sit on like a little dish pan thing and do like an actual sitz bath. You could use those herbs to do a yoni steam. Lots of different things. They're tissue healing herbs. They're like calendula, yarrow, you know, lavender, stuff like that. Electrolytes are trending, yes, but they have been in need of our human bodies for all of time. And if you're drinking another popular and delicious salty electrolyte, here's why you should be drinking Relight instead. First of all, have you ever considered the salt source of these other brands? Because most of them just use table salt. Yeah, table salt. You don't want that. Redmond's Relight Powders uses their unrefined ancient sea salt that they mine in Utah. This salt source contains 60 plus trace minerals along with calcium, chloride, potassium, and magnesium in two different forms, glycinate and malate. The minerals that they use in the Relight Powders are all in the appropriate proportions and forms too. The metabolic needs of pregnancy, healing postpartum, and milk making require more minerals than in other times of your life. Pregnancy itself demands huge increases in your blood volume, which takes, you know, more minerals. Relight is the perfect blend to be sipping during your pregnancy or during your labor even, and especially while you're breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, lemon lime, and the strawberry lemonade. But you can try a sample pack and try all the flavors for yourself and see what you think. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% on your entire Redmond order. That includes their OG sea salt, other seasonings, bentonite clays, toothpaste, and more. My favorite, like, pad company and diaper company, because I love wearing diapers for the first, like, at least week. I literally love it. I'm so excited about my diapers. Rael, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't know how else you would say it, but they are organic. They're organic cotton, organic materials, and they also make, like, just huge overnight type pads that you can put in stretchy underwear or maternity underwear for maybe later on. But I think the diapers for the first little while, if once you're up and about, actually, you know what I really suggest for people is to sit on a Chucks pad in the bed and with no underwear on for the first like 48 hours when you're passing a lot of clots still, because one clot's going to fill up a whole diaper and then you just toss it. But if you're sitting on a Chucks pad, it's like much easier to dispose of, and they're coming all the time. I mean, I don't know. Some people don't have very much bleeding. I do. So yeah, I love that brand. I love a good peri bottle. Earthly for their sitz bath herbs, active skin repair. Again, you can use that. You can spray it directly on you. I probably wouldn't put active skin repair in my peri bottle. I would probably just keep it concentrated and spray it on myself after.
Yeah.
That would be like the best use, but you could, I guess, if you wanted to. And then the Loombox. So a red light therapy of whatever form. I have a Loombox and I love it for a lot of different reasons, because I did have a different portable one. I can't even remember the brand. Body Bio. How many companies are going to call themselves Thrive something or like Body Bio Basics, body something? I don't know. I'm like, we're getting all confused.
I know. Like, be radically different and be like lizard poop, and then everyone will remember you.
Exactly. Like Loombox. Like,
yeah.
Loombox is it different enough that I'm like, okay, but I still, it makes intuitive sense. It's like loom, like illuminate. Okay. Like, it all makes sense. But the rounded corners are very important to me on the Loombox, because the other one I had was sharp metal. And it was a pain in the butt, and the battery also died constantly, and it did not have the option to go between red light or near infrared light. In the Loombox, you can do red light, near infrared light, or both. And in the case of a perineal tear, I would do both. And so, also the battery lasts forever. I just love it. And it's so easy to clean off, like in case you accidentally like got it too close to you, or like it fell forward into your blood or something, like it wouldn't be the worst thing in the whole world. Because the lights are covered by a sheet of plastic. This other kind that I had, it was like each individual bulb was sort of like exposed. Like if it had fallen into my postpartum blood and my vaginal fluids, I would have had to like take a Q-tip and like,
rubbed around
each kind of like exposed vulva. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that is very bizarre. And I don't want to like interrupt your flow because it's so good. And we'll do a whole episode on C-section considerations postpartum because I would probably have another list that would be slightly different than this, which we'll do. But I just, to talk about the Loombox, I also loved for my healing, my C-section. And so if you have a tear, if you have a vaginal birth, but if you have a C-section, both, it's great to have the Loombox to support that.
100%. Yes. And I was going to say that too. I like perineal tears, C-section tears, and clogged ducts, mastitis, and nipple damage. All of those can benefit hugely from the red light of any kind of red light device. I mean, we use Loombox, but like I cannot even tell you how amazing it is for something like a clogged duct, because what a clogged duct is just inflammation. It's an inflamed duct where the milk can't get out anymore. We got to reduce the inflammation somehow. And part of that could be red light therapy very, very well and easy. And then with the skin healing properties of it to help with your nipples as you're trying to heal them if they're damaged. Okay. Yeah. Next section here is baby items. Everybody wants to know about the baby items. Okay. So here we are. We're finally talking about it 40 minutes in. Sorry, guys. Sorry to make you wait. Let's just remember something. A newborn baby comes out of your body, and it needs to be diapered. It needs to have clothes. It needs to have wipes to change the diapers. It needs food, and it needs a safe place to sleep. And that's literally it. Mm-hmm. Unless there's something different going on with your baby, healthy babies, that is what they need. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, babies don't have any kind of like extra need or whatever. So your options are, you got to figure out where it's going to sleep, what kind of clothes it's going to wear, the diapers and wipes, and then what are you feeding it? So that's the breakdown. Seriously, you don't need anything else. So what I like to use for those things. So let's start at the base layers, the diapers. So Kudos are my favorite diapers. They are 100% cotton where it's touching the baby's skin. Not the entire diaper is 100% cotton, but all the parts that are touching baby's sensitive areas are cotton. And they did have a big formula change like 2 years ago when they got into Target. And then everybody complained about that diaper being different. I never actually used that diaper. I stopped using them at some point for, I don't even know why. I used them with Sunday for maybe the first year. And then that Target switch happened. And I think we just kind of got into a pattern where we were buying like whatever we could get our hands on. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember, but I didn't use them really. So I never had that experience of whatever people were complaining about because they didn't like it. They've since gone back to the OG diaper. So I'm excited because my experience of Kudos has always been really good. Because here's the thing. I have seen now over 10 years of diapering children, the progression and the deterioration of all of the major brands. Mm-hmm. And Honest Company used to be king. Yeah. 10 years ago, Honest Company was the shit. It was everything you wanted in a diaper. And they were cute and they smelled nice and everything. And they actually worked. They actually absorbed things. And now literally like a normal pee leaks out of an Honest diaper. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. Seventh Generation would be good if they could just figure out how to keep their little beady things inside of the diaper, but they explode constantly. They have like where you're then getting all those little jelly like absorbent beads all over your baby's skin. I'm like, absolutely not. So Seventh Generation, I've had so many problems with that. Millie Moon and like some of these other ones that are sold that are like Pampers Pure, or there's like some bamboo ones. You know, there's a lot of choices for some non-toxic clean diapers. Mm-hmm. I have never had a problem with Kudos. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had a blowout ever in Kudos or a leak. And I love the way they smell. They don't smell like weird. My baby's pee doesn't smell weird in them. It doesn't smell like right now I'm using, what am I using? I just got some off of Amazon called Pura or something. Mm. And her pee, Sunday's pee, smells so bad inside of these diapers. And they're supposed to be clean, and they probably are, but it just smells, it accentuates the ammonia somehow.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm a huge fan, but I actually don't use Kudos wipes. And that's not because of anything against the Kudos wipes, but I use water wipes. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's people who hate on water wipes. Here's what I'm going to tell you about that. The hatred for water wipes because of the one drop of grapefruit seed extract, which has the benzyl chloride, whatever that people are worried about. Water wipes are still a one on the EWG Skin Deep app. Mm-hmm. Okay. They are extremely clean. That little teeny, teeny, tiny amount of the chemical does not bother me in any way, shape, or form. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are so many bigger fish to fry out there, you guys. Like, are you kidding? Your kid walking around barefoot on the fake plastic tar at the playground is probably going to be more exposure than a lifetime of using water wipes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people get so crazy and in the weeds with some of this stuff. The reason why I love water wipes is there's no smell. There's no other ingredients. I actually don't like when, you know, I know there's pipette and there's whatever. There's all these other kinds that people like where they have soothing things or they have herbs in them or whatever. And I want something that's literally just water and a wipe, which is what water wipes are, because I use them on my kids' faces. I use them on their hands. I use them to change diapers. I use them on everything. So I'm a huge fan. I've been using them for 10 years. I'm still going to use them. So, you know, burn me at the stake if you want to about that, but that's silly. Okay.
Yeah.
For clothing, my most favorite thing on a newborn is a knotted gown for like a month or maybe even two. A knotted gown, if you've not seen them, is like a long sleeve top. And then it's like they just didn't cut the fabric and it flows down well beyond their feet. And then they've kind of like hemmed it off and you can just lift it up to their belly button, do a diaper change. And then you just pull the full sleeve tube thing, like you're wrapping up like a sausage down your baby's feet. And then you tie it in a knot at the bottom. And it's the easiest thing in the entire world because dressing a newborn, if you haven't done it yet, is not fun. Yeah. Even just getting them into like a long sleeve zip up, which, you know, we're well past the idea, you know, all hopefully hopefully you all know, you don't ever buy anything with snaps for a newborn. No snaps, okay?
Or physical buttons, like where you button.
No buttons, no snaps, no magnets. Velcro can be okay, but you have to make sure that it's the quiet Velcro. Otherwise, that's going to cause you problems. But the knotted gowns are the absolute thing to go by. So there's a couple of companies. I mean, like, actually my favorite company, Kate Quinn Organics, stopped making them. But they did back in the day. And then, I don't know, that's pretty lame to me because they were organic cotton and they were so cheap and soft and amazing. Lulu and Company makes really adorable ones, but they're kind of expensive. There's a lot of knotted gown brands though out there now. So I'm not going to list off a brand, but that's just my general shape and idea that I think is so important. Mm-hmm. A good monitor, if you have your once later on at some point, or maybe if your baby falls asleep somewhere and then you're like, I need to leave the room. Do not get a monitor that has Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need a monitor that even has Bluetooth. Like, get a regular basic monitor, which will be linked in the show notes. I don't even know what it's called. It's like iFamily or something like that. It's $50. Here's the other thing. The Nana and whatever, those $150, $100, $200 monitor systems that have all the metrics of how much your baby slept. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. We don't care. We do not care. We are not talking to, we are not like putting our babies in this situation to even be like monitored and analyzed in that kind of a way. Every single day of a child's life, their sleep is going to be different. And if you can't like understand that, you have bigger problems. So don't waste the money. It's not healthy for their bodies anyways. This little simple monitor is so easy. I don't know where mine is to show you right now, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It'll be in the concomitant like reel series that I have going along with this episode. But I love it for just its simplicity. So yeah, you don't need to buy anything more expensive than that. If you need a diaper cream, Tubby Todd. I do like Tubby Todd. I think they're fine. Just some kind of a zinc. I honestly don't use diaper cream. Like, my babies do not get diaper rashes. I think it's because I do use clean diapers and wipes. Or you go Nakey, or you use Active Skin Repair. But sometimes if you need something, then yeah, maybe you do a Tubby Todd. Maybe once or twice between all the girls that I have, they've had like an actual yeast infection where we've had to do something about it, but not very often. No. Burp cloths, you know, I don't have any preference for that. Although I will say that if you have a baby who spits up a lot, instead of just getting a regular burp cloth, buy those diaper inserts. Buy those tri-fold, like six-layered diaper inserts, because they are going to, first of all, like they're the same price. They're bigger and they're going to absorb way more each one than like a classic little two-ply, you know, 6x6-inch square. Even if it's pretty and cute, who cares? Like, if you're catching a lot of spit up like I was with Sunday, you need something heavy duty.
Yeah.
Okay, three other things that I do really love now is for pacifiers. Not all babies take a pacifier. So if you have the expectation that your baby's going to suck on a pacifier all the time, check yourself because you don't know.
Yeah.
If you're going to breastfeed, there is a superior pacifier. It's called the Ninico pacifier. And if your baby doesn't really take a pacifier because they have some oral stuff, you can use a Ninico pacifier as like a tool, a latch tool that will actually improve and help their breastfeeding latch, because the way it's designed is very breast-like. Mm-hmm. It is hard for them to latch onto it if they have latch issues. Mm-hmm. And they have to kind of figure out how to undulate their tongue and keep it in their mouth and all these things like they do at the breast. So I, with Sunday, was using it as part of my like oral exercises regime post tongue tie to get her strong again. And I remember the day that she held it in her mouth for 1 minute, because I would time it on my phone because I was trying to like have a metric of, is this getting better or not? Because I couldn't really tell. I'd get like distracted, not really think about it and stuff. And then I was like, oh my God, she held it in her mouth for a minute. I was like, wow, okay, that's a big deal for her, because she was so hypotonic, which was like an additional thing connected to her laryngeal malacia. Not necessarily all tongue tied babies are like that. But the Ninico pacifier is very soft silicone. It's not going to disrupt palate formation. Once they start chewing on it though, like if they do have teeth, and then sometimes they don't, even if they have teeth. But if they do start chewing on it, then you have to toss it, because they can like rip through it, and then now it becomes like a hazard.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them. I love them. They were made by like an OT. Like an occupational or like an IBCLC, people who know about breastfeeding dynamics. And I just think it's the smartest, coolest thing ever. And it has that, it's that one that if you haven't seen it yet, it's like the hole so you can see your baby's tongue doing the motion. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's great.
Oh, cool.
Okay, baby carriers. So my OG absolute favorite baby carrier for all of time has been the Happy Baby Carrier. And it still is. I love it. You can put a newborn in it. I don't usually. Usually I use some kind of like a wrap or a ring sling in those early, early days. But then maybe starting at like 2 or 3 months, somewhere in there, I use my Happy Baby Carrier. You can use it earlier than that. But this year, actually, I got Hope and Plum, which is another brand. Hope and Plum came out with the Sprout, I think it's called. I should look that up really quick. I think it is Hope and Plum Sprout. Yes.
Is there a crisscross in the back?
I think so. Let me see. So it's like a soft structured carrier, but it is only for newborns. Like you can't wear it, you know, beyond a certain weight. Yes, it does crisscross in the back. And it's like super, super thin and really moldable. There's no like form to it. So you can use it with a newborn. I'm so excited about it. I cannot wait.
Is it like a Sully?
No, because
the Sully is like a wrap that you wrap around yourself, which we use a lot with newborns, but it's an actual carrier that you don't have to wrap around.
It's an actual carrier. Here, I'm going to text it to you and you can check it out while you listen to me rant. Mm-hmm. I've been watching them for a little while and I just got one and I cannot wait to use it with this little baby. It's like red and white gingham pattern. It's so cute. But it looks like it's very thin and like you could get a really good, tight, close, adorable little fit with a newborn on it. Yeah. So that's going to be what
I like that it crisscrosses. I personally, so the Happy Baby Co, I know you love so much. I found it harder. I need that crisscross in the back for better support. I think it's because I had to have a C-section. And so I just needed more support. And I would always feel like the straps were kind of falling off of me. And I like really like the crisscross in the back one. So anybody who's feeling like that could be them, like looking for crisscross carriers for the back, I think are helpful sometimes.
That's true. A lot of people do feel that way. And for some reason,
it just doesn't.
The backpack is fine. Yeah. It does have the like, you know, support band that goes between your shoulder blades. Mm-hmm. I think with the Happy Baby Co, my most favorite thing about it is just that it's like that soft floppy linen that gets softer and softer over time. And you can just like shove it in your bag and there's no like extra crazy amounts of padding that make it hard. Like I had a Wild Bird Ariel and that does crisscross in the back, but the pads are so thick, which is nice, I guess, if you want more support, but it's like so bulky.
Yeah.
Even the base is so bulky. So, you know, I don't know. Yes, it's like,
totally. Yeah. I get that for sure.
You've probably heard that there's some controversy around using pacifiers, that they can interfere with your breastfeeding journey and relationship. They can cause nipple confusion. They can disrupt the way that your baby's teeth come in, yada, yada, all sorts of different things. And yes, some of that is true, but not all pacifiers are created equal. And there is one particular pacifier that I love and I do recommend, and that's because it is breast-like. It's made out of a super soft, pliable silicone that actually can help your baby's latch. This is the Ninny Co pacifier. So they can be used as soothers, which is important for your baby, but they can also be used as tools for improving oral development and function. Say like in a situation where your baby had a lip or tongue tie, they need help with their latch for some kind of a reason, they're recovering from a revision. And that has been the case for my last several babies. I use the Ninny as a tool to help strengthen their mouth and actually improves my breastfeeding relationship with them while also helping to soothe them, because suckling for a human baby is a need. It's not just a want. So there is a way that you can use a pacifier when you know that they're full and they're satisfied, they're not looking for feeding or anything like that. So you do have to have some awareness and knowledge around what your baby's cues are. But say you're driving or they're trying to sleep or they're in a carrier or a stroller, something like that. Using a pacifier is not a bad thing inherently. It just depends on the one that you use. All of the IBCLCs, so the International Board Certified Lactation Consultants, the occupational therapists, physical therapists, feeding and speech therapists that I know recommend the Ninny, and so do I. Ninny pacifiers are made in the United States. They are BPA and phthalate free, and they don't negatively affect your breastfeeding relationship. If anything, they can help their latch. Use the code HEALTHYMOTHER with the link in the show notes to save 10% and get your baby a Ninny today. Okay. And then like for the co-sleeper that my kids sleep in. So I do co-sleep a little bit with them in the very beginning, and then they go to like a bedside bassinet thing. And the brand that I use for that is Baby Delight. And they have one that has like way more organic cotton materials that are around it. I know a lot of people work with, or they really like the Newton and the Newton mattress because it can be breathable and whatever. And I don't know. The Baby Delight is totally fine and great. And then it can butt right up against your bed and you can unzip this thing so that you have like a flat plane between your sleeping space and your baby's sleeping space. It's also cheaper than the Newton. I just don't see like the pull and draw to the Newton over the Baby Delight. I think the Baby Delight's like totally sufficient and fine with that. Okay, so now for me, a couple of things I'll just run through really quick, and then we'll get to the supplements. A salt lamp. I know this isn't really a traditional thing, but a salt lamp with a dimmer. Just get it on Amazon, but type in dimmer for sure, because you want to be able to turn that light up and down in the middle of the night when you're feeding. It's going to create that soft red light that's not going to wake you or baby up too much, but you're going to be able to see enough for a diaper change, for a feeding. It creates such a mood and vibe. It's like very cozy and comfy. Love it. A robe, like just if it's like a thick fuzzy robe because you're giving birth in the winter, if it's a light little thin or cotton robe because it's summer, whatever. I think wearing a robe and nothing else and sitting on a Chucks pad to bleed for the first couple of days, and then as you wish to like wear the diaper and the robe, and then you're still topless and you're doing lots of skin to skin, and you're just sitting in your bed and you're sweating and eating and crying and sleeping and laughing and taking pictures and just chilling, like that is what you're doing. That's postpartum, you know. So having some like, you know, big comfy underwear that you'll put on at some point later on. A couple of non-items but things that I think are a good idea would be like a playlist of your happy songs that you like. These are things that brought me joy in my postpartum time. A really good like upbeat playlist, books to read. So this time I'm going to actually have my Kindle, which I do think is a cool thing because then you can hold it easily one-handed while you're breastfeeding. Before I was reading like regular books, you know, then I started reading too many books per month that it didn't make sense cost-wise to keep buying books or even like renting from the library. You know, it's like all the books I was wanting to read, there was like 127 people ahead of me and I'm like, I'm not doing that. Sorry. This is like too important to me. Flowers, you know, like stuff like that in the room can really perk your mood up and be beautiful and smell good. And then Epsom salt baths. Like for me, that's a huge thing. I can't do it, you know, like immediately postpartum. I probably start my baths back at like a month. But that brings me tons of joy. So there's just like a short little list I wanted to say.
Love that.
Some kind of random stuff. Now, so for the supplements, there's a couple of different main categories here. We want to remember that even if you're not breastfeeding, you still want to continue to take your prenatal vitamin for at least 9 months into your postpartum because you are now still recovering and repleting from what has happened during the making of a new human process of pregnancy. If you are breastfeeding, you want to continue to take that prenatal the entirety of your breastfeeding journey. Okay. Also your omegas, I would say those two. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Huge.
Yeah. So
breastfeeding, cause you're giving all your stuff to baby.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, specifically if you are breastfeeding, this is like a must, but I think it's a must for everyone. So the needed prenatal, the needed omega, or the Nordic Naturals Pro Omega 2000. So I like both of those for omegas, but the needed prenatal Pro is king.
Yeah.
Or queen. She's queen, I should say.
I do like the needed omega fish oil a little bit better than Nordic, even though I used to recommend both because they're slightly smaller. So if you have a hard time swallowing pills, or like for me postpartum, I was so like vomity during my pregnancy that swallowing big pills would like trigger that postpartum. So the sleek, like they're longer and like easier to swallow. So if that is matters to you at all, I just like that.
No, I agree. They are sleek. Sleek is the perfect word for them.
Yeah. They just sleek down your throat and it's great.
Yeah. They're like a little torpedo. Like they're, it's easy. Yep. So those are kind of like consistent ones that I would be like base level. Okay. Another one that is supportive, or another kind of category, is to think about herbs that can be supportive for various angles. One, if we're just still kind of in the nutrient category, would be things like, there's a company called Milk Moon that makes this postpartum tonic that is
so good.
A mix of, it's so good. Okay. It's so good. And it's so nourishing. You could also make like really strong teas. You could keep drinking your Nora tea. You could do tinctures. Earthly actually has one called Nourish Her Naturally, which is a great tincture that would be a similar product. But I love like a good couple of bottles, like two or three bottles of that Milk Moon postpartum tonic. It's like one of the old, I have like five things on my baby registry because I don't need anything anymore. I've like have everything. And that's one of the things. because I do really love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, now cortisol, sleep, stress support, all of that, like how do we stay in a good mood? How do we manage this big, huge transition? So first of all, creatine is one of the most studied supplements ever of all of time. It is safe in breastfeeding, and it's very helpful to help our bodies recover, help us make better ATP, our cognitive function in the situation specifically of sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
So 5 grams of creatine. Do not get sucked into the trap of the creatine gummies.
Yeah.
That are 1 gram each, and you have to eat 5 of them a day, and the bottle's like $50. It's so stupid. Creatine is a cheap, easy, fine powder. You mix it in water. It's not a big deal. I bought these little Thorn. So on Fullscript, like again, this will all be linked. On Fullscript, you can buy little stick packets, sort of like electrolyte stick packets or something like that. And then you can just have them sitting there and you mix it in your water bottle. It's so easy. No, you don't have to drink it first thing in the morning. You don't have to drink it around a workout. At some point in your day, if you can get some creatine in, cool. Now, yeah, if I could choose and you got it in the morning, that would probably be nice. But like, it's not one of those things that's going to affect your sleep negatively or anything.
Yeah.
And it's so, so safe and so well studied. Now, you don't want to get into like 25 grams of creatine a day like that. Yeah, no, don't do that. That's when people are giving creatine like flack, it's because people are taking way too much.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. People love to just like take anything good and then just go crazy with it. And then it becomes bad. Okay. My absolute MVP, my most favorite supplement to ever exist on the entire planet. And I'm not joking. I'm not being dramatic. I will take it the second this baby comes out of my body, no matter the time of day. No, I'm not kidding. I'll take it in the morning after she's born. But the needed stress support is unlike anything I've ever taken in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's better now. They reformulated and they've added saffron. Yeah. And as somebody who has a not so great, usually mental health during postpartum at some point, I appreciate that move so much because saffron is going, is a, an immediate in the moment anxiety, depression boost kind of thing in a natural way. It's just that it's that like really bright yellow herb in India. I actually think the name saffron is so beautiful, but I'm like way too white to name my kid saffron. I can't do that. But if I was Indian, I would absolutely have a child named saffron.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Okay. Anyways, it has shatavari, rhodiola, holy basil, ashwagandha. What else? I'm missing one.
Oh my God. I literally helped formulate this. You'd think I would know.
I know. There's one other. No more oat anymore.
Sandra. You said Shisandra?
Oh, Shisandra. No, I didn't say Shisandra.
Oh, okay.
Shisandra. Yeah.
Shisandra. Oh, you did. In my mind, you had. It's like, I don't know what else.
Actually, I don't know. This is recorded. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. But either way, it is all of the, it's the slew of adaptogenic herbs. Adaptogenic herbs help your body adapt to various things. When we just say adaptogenic, what we are talking about is stress, adapting to stress, but you can have reproductive adaptogens. That means that it helps your body maybe make more estrogen or less estrogen or more progesterone, you know, whatever. It helps you adapt in kind of whichever direction you need to go. Adrenal adaptogens are going to help your adrenal glands, which are responding to stress. And even if you don't feel stressed, the act of giving birth and then the act of taking care of a new baby and not sleeping your normal level of hours at night is a inherently stressful event on the body. But most people do also perceive mental, emotional stress when they've got a newborn baby, even if they love it, even if it's the best thing ever, even if they're obsessed with their baby. And that's okay. That's normal. Also, this is kind of something that like maybe in the first 2 weeks of your baby's life, you're not really resonating with anything I'm saying. But there's going to come a time when you're like 3 or 4 months down the road. And if you didn't, you know, kind of recharge your battery, take care of yourself really well in those early days. And even if you did sometimes, that's kind of when I see women crash and burn. The women who really get back to their lives postpartum, they're trying to bounce back. They're working out. They're taking their kids to the park with a 4-day-old. They're doing whatever. Now, if they don't have the luxury of and like community support of being able to rest, I can sympathize or empathize with that more. But if you have all of that to your disposal and you're still choosing to just like act as though this thing did not happen to you, I just think it's ignorant. I think that it's not in line. It's inappropriate. You're coming from a place of not understanding the physiology of what is actually happening in your body. And it's probably going to bite you in the butt. And I'm not saying that because I hope that happens to you. I'm saying it because I see it all day, every day. And I'm like, wow, how do we prevent this? Oh, we got to educate the moms before they have a baby so that they don't go get out of beds too early. Like, we have to, this is a slow roll game, you guys. Like, motherhood never ends. Now that this baby is in your arms, you don't get to just go take a break for 3 weeks and be done with it. No, like, you have to pace yourself, and there is no award you will get, as people say about the natural birth world. Although I will say that, like, people get the natural birth high, so there is a reward at least to them. But, like, there's no reward that you're going to get from anyone for showing up at a park 4 days postpartum. It's like not a flex. It's not a flex. Yeah. I actually, like, really pity women that are in those situations, because I'm like, oh God, like, hopefully. And, you know, there's going to be women listening to this who they've done that and it wasn't their experience that they crashed and burned. And great. That's awesome. But you're in the minority. You are not, you are the exception to the rule. That is not what happens to the vast majority of people. The vast majority of people, you will kind of like ride this weird high, you know, and then they get to like 3 or 4 months, which happens to be when they go back to work, and now they start pumping, and then they mysteriously lose their milk supply. And now all of a sudden they have postpartum depression or anxiety. And it's like, it's not coincidence. Mm-hmm. It is a clear pattern of dysfunction in the way that we think about postpartum culture. So stress support, back to stress support, can help us manage this. There is long-term and short-term benefits of this particular supplement. Like I mentioned, the short-term benefits are with the saffron. Those other herbs, some of them do have a little bit of a short-term bump too, but specifically things like ashwagandha is going to be a long-term game, and you want to be consistent in your taking of it, and you want to take it only in the morning. Do not take it past like 11 or noon, probably is my thing. Now, if we want to have some more cortisol type support, or if you're having a hard time sleeping for whatever reason, like you're wired and tired, you're anxious about the baby waking up again, whatever, I love Integrative Therapeutics has two products. One of them is called Cortisol Manager, which you could take at night to sleep. And then, you know, you'd wake up in the morning and you'd take your needed stress support. Yes, Cortisol Manager also has ashwagandha in it. It's okay. You can take them both. But also if you needed like more sleep pressure, or I love this particular supplement because it helps me particularly with falling asleep again in between wakeups is Lavella. Mm-hmm. And Lavella is also Integrated Therapeutics. And it's going to say on the back of the bottles, like, you know, you can't take these things in pregnancy and breastfeeding. This is a situation where clinically I recommend them all the time and I take them myself. So then there's some other mental health things. There's a company called Wish Gardens, who I'm obsessed with for their, I should have mentioned this in the breastfeeding section, the Happy Ducks tincture by Wish Gardens. I wish I could own stock. I wish I could own stock in that and stress support, because they're my most favorite things. If you have a clogged duct, or you're starting to even think that you get one, and you start taking Happy Ducks by Wish Gardens, like, it is so effective and so amazing. But they also have a couple of postpartum mental health ones. They have a postpartum rebalance, which is kind of like a little mental, emotional, but a little bit hormone based. And for someone like me, I love it. My body like soaks it up. It's amazing. So these are supportive tinctures that I think everybody should sort of know about. They're formulated specifically for women who would be breastfeeding. So they are going to be 100% safe in that way. They usually have a glycerin, so they're not like a super strong, terrible tincture. Mm-hmm. And they're almost more of like a mix between a tincture and a tonic, because you're usually kind of taking a high dose. Like, you're taking like 5 or 6 like squirts, the way that a lot of the bottles are. That's not really a tincture tip. It's like a squirt bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But explore their website. They have a lot of amazing things. They also have some really good stuff for pregnancy. Like, if you get sick during pregnancy, they have a tincture that's safe for that and different stuff. Okay. And then of course, homeopathy. So like for me, Sepia or Nux Vomica, but you will have to like read about these different remedies to see what would maybe be most appropriate for you with your homeopathic kind of constitution of how you are. If you're like depressed versus anxious versus angry versus like sad and weepy, you're just like so sad. What is it that's going on? You have grief, you have trauma, you have shock, you have whatever it is, overwhelm. Homeopathy can be really, really fantastic and supportive for those kinds of states of being.
Perfect.
Okay. Anything you want to say before I go on?
No, I think you're doing great. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. The last section is like snacks and that kind of a thing. So some just more touches about nutrition and food. And so my number one thing that I will always do and set up for other people if they don't have it is a meal train. Mm-hmm. I use the website mealtrain.com. It's incredibly easy. People who live even out of state, if you don't have a lot of local community, they can donate money for like DoorDash or Instacart meal delivery type mm-hmm. things. This is an opportunity where we can include our community in a big life event happening to us where people are more than happy to help. And if they don't want to do it, then they won't sign up. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to do it and they do sign up and then they're weird and resentful about it, that's on them. That's not on you.
Right.
Like, don't take these things on. Do not assume that you're being a bother, that you're being bougie, that you're being mm-hmm. like demanding of people. It's actually like so lovely to help. Sometimes, yeah. And I mean, there's been times in my life where I'm like, oh shoot. Like, yeah, that friend just had a baby and I like need to make him a meal. Like when am I going to schedule that in? But like, it's not the concept of bringing them a meal that I don't like. It's like, sometimes I have to just shift some things around in my schedule, but then I do because it's so important. Mm-hmm. And so having food, I suggest to my patients, clients, friends, whatever, to eat 4 full meals a day.
Yep.
Full meals in your postpartum time for at least the first month. I mean, come on, if we can do it for 2 or 3 months, then that's going to be amazing. Most people are going to be like, are you joking? But listen, postpartum cultures in the past, in the successful human cultures that we can study, did this for 40 days. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people to even just Americans to get it like it down for 2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. 4 full meals and snacks.
Yep.
And tons of electrolytes in your water that you're drinking. You want to overnourish yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. You really just go guns blazing. What else are you doing? You're sitting in bed, you're nursing, looking at your baby and eating, and then your body is bleeding, adjusting, sweating, all of the water weight and everything that you've gained now over 9 months. You're losing weight incredibly fast. Everything is, your cardiovascular system is starting to go back to its pre-pregnancy state. Your immune system is going back to its pre-pregnancy state. Everything is like on fire in your body. Not on fire in like an inflammation way, but like active. There's a lot of change happening. And also we know postpartum women have transient periods of time of low digestive enzymes, higher chances of leaky gut, and just an inability to absorb nutrients very well. So mm-hmm. we don't want to just be eating any postpartum food. Ideally, we are eating things like soups, stews, curries, like pre-digested almost, like cooked, really well cooked food, mm-hmm. meat and vegetables and grains and fat and lots of good protein. And it's like easy to eat. We're not eating like raw salads. Mm-hmm. If you live in like the tropics or whatever, you want to have a smoothie. Okay, fine. Although a lot of people still won't suggest that you do that, or they'll suggest that you make it room temperature and you don't make it super cold. Yeah. Because again, the constitutional state of a postpartum woman is like this, it's called vata. It's very energy out. Mm-hmm. There is not a lot of energy in. There's not a lot of digestive fire. We need to keep her warm. Like literally sometimes cultures will keep their heads and feet covered, even if it's pretty warm outside. There is a theory too, in some cultures around postpartum depression, anxiety being sort of like a takeover of a negative entity that comes into her body. And that being more likely if she's uncared for and she's getting stressed and she reaches mm-hmm. this lower vibrational mental emotional state, she's going to be easier to like sort of latch onto. Yeah. There's actually all these like very interesting kind of scary graphics in Canva. If you type in postpartum, just postpartum, which obviously I've done a million times, trying to make any kind of content for my group, my people, what they assume that means is postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And there's all these really wild, like I think from some sort of an Asian culture, I can tell, mm-hmm. graphics of like monsters insane. Coming yeah. in. And yeah.
It's crazy.
You know, bone broth, like Fond, one of our past podcast sponsors and just like a really sweet company. They make a beautiful, delicious bone broth mm-hmm. that is regeneratively farmed and it's actually with bones. Did you guys know that a lot of bone broths that you buy at the store are not actually made with bones? Because that is annoying and just like a labeling yeah. thing where there's no regulation. So they do whatever they want. Fond actually uses bones and it mm-hmm. tastes delicious. So, or make your own or have a friend make yours. If you have a friend who loves to make bone broth, like ask her to make you a big pot. Dates, like you can stuff dates with butter and then salt them or peanut butter. They're really, really nutrient dense. They have a lot of minerals. Dates do. That's another one that we see commonly throughout different cultures all over the world. And then, you know, like maybe in your cart, you have some bars, you have Go Macro bars or Perfect bars. You have some meat sticks, some seaweed, trail mix, or like whatever it is that you like. But you're really not, we're never skipping meals.
Yeah.
And we're not even like letting ourselves get to the point of feeling all that hungry. We're really eating a lot. So
yeah,
that is kind of my list here. Things I don't buy, like just a real quick short list of stuff I do not get that I see people have a lot. I have a Bob stroller that I bought in 2015. No, maybe 2016. Because I wear my babies. I wear my babies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Until they're big enough to go into like a big kid stroller, which is like around a year maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a used Bob because those wheels, you can never get anything better than those wheels.
Yes.
And I do love that thing. It's heavy and clunky and annoying, but like if I'm going to go through an airport, I'm wearing them. If I'm mm-hmm. going on like a little, I just wear them everywhere until they can maybe sit in the cart at like the grocery store or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy swings. I don't buy a snoo. I don't buy any other gadget that like holds a baby. Oh, actually, no. The only thing that I do have is the baby Bjorn like angled bounce thing.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of, yeah. And it's like a little net and it can just kind of like hold them. And that, you know, if you're cooking and you're not wearing them or whatever, I probably put my babies in that for a total of like 3 hours in their whole life. Like it's not very often, but it is a nice little option to have, especially when you do have other kids and they're young and you don't trust them and you want somewhere to put the baby where you can like make sure that they're safe from other kids mm-hmm. or pets. But those baby containers should not be used as like a crutch. We should not be putting babies in a swing to sit there and like be swung until they're so sleepy that they don't even like give you their hunger cues. Like it's a slippery slope to sabotaging breastfeeding when those kinds of devices are used. Same thing with the snoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's like so many, I do use a good, like a little sound machine, but there's so many dumb things. There's like something that pats their baby's butt, like for you, you know, there's baby, special baby, like Q-tips for their ears. I'm like, come on. No. Yeah. Although actually I will say a good snot sucker, if mm-hmm. they're sick, that kind of a thing is dope to have at some point. You don't need it for a newborn because usually a newborn's not getting sick, but like I guess if yours does, first of all, Godspeed, I'm so sorry, but the snot sucker is great with the X-layer mm-hmm. nasal spray. Otherwise, I don't know, just try to, my advice is like borrow things from friends, even bottles. Borrow some bottles from a friend of like one bottle from multiple different types, because mm-hmm. a lot of babies have a strong preference and you don't know what that's going to be. So don't double down and buy 12 bottles of Tommy Tippy or whatever, or Pigeon, and then you can't use them
because
your baby doesn't like them.
Yeah.
So try to be conservative. Think about yourself more than the baby. Like what do you need? Honestly, mm-hmm. you need way more items and things than the baby does. Like they just need some diapers, a place to sleep if they're going to nurse, cool, and clothes, like some easy clothes, like a couple of gowns, just a few. You don't even need mm-hmm. a lot. And then when they're older and cuter and fatter and you can dress them in a cute outfit and it's not a pain in the ass and you're not changing 12 or 15 diapers every single day, put them in something cute and fun. But like newborn days, you know what I mean? Like let's just keep it really simple.
The only thing I would say is just have one outfit at least that's not a gown so that you can put them in a car seat, because gowns do not do well in the car seat, which you wouldn't have thought about because you've had home births, so you haven't had to put a newborn in a car seat. Or maybe you do have to go to...
I just untie it. Yeah.
But you just untie it and lift it up.
If it's winter, though.
Yeah.
If it's winter, you need to be able to, like, put little pants on them, and then the gown, like, material just kind of, like, shoves off to the side. But,
but it's not that often that you would have to do that, because I agree with you. Yeah. The gowns are so great in those early, early days, but I have run into, like, oh, now your little legs are naked when you're in the car.
Yeah. And if it's like warm outside, it's fine. But if it's not, then you're like, oh no.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh yeah. A car seat. I mean, I guess I didn't talk about car seats. You do need a car seat.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people really like the Nuna, and I am one of those people who just borrows an infant car seat from friends. And then I put them in a convertible car seat the second that we can, which mm-hmm. actually I could do it from the newborn days, but I like the little click-in ones for just the first like month, 2 months, maybe even 3 months, depends on the baby. But as soon as they start to like scream, cry in the car, mm-hmm. I put them in the convertible because I do find that it's better.
Yeah.
We use the Diono Radian RXT, and it's more of like an L. It's slanted. It's not so bucketed mm-hmm. and curved. And I think that because my babies are tied and tight, that curve is less, is too uncomfortable for them. So that's why we put them in the Dionos like right away. And there's a little infant pad thing, you know, and they look so tiny in it.
Yeah.
But it's great. And it's like, those car seats are awesome.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, this has been such an amazing list. I mean, this is
a huge,
so
episode.
Valuable. It's great. It's okay. I should have totally eaten more for lunch. I'm like, oh, I'm like so hungry. So I'm going to go eat right after we're done. But this is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and all your brands and the practical things that people need to go out and just buy. And so definitely check out the show notes for all of those links.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. This is like the episode that I've been asked for 100 million times is baby registry items. Like, what do you use? What do you like? What do you want? So I hope that this is helpful for you.
Amazing.
Thanks. Bye. Are you pregnant or you're trying to conceive and you're looking for reliable natural health information about how to have a healthy pregnancy and also prepare for the future steps in motherhood to come, like the birth, the breastfeeding, and the postpartum? Because I have got you. So this is exactly the reason why I made the 6-week pregnancy call. And it's my most comprehensive resource. It's the thing that I absolutely love. I've poured my heart and soul into it. It's all of the things that I wish that every woman knew when they are entering motherhood. It's a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 class, and a postpartum planning course all in one. And normally I run it as a class with live Q&A calls, but now it's available in a content-only format so that you can purchase it at any time and start learning immediately. It's called the lessons-only format, and it is just only all of the video lessons that you'll get access to for forever. So log on to milkmedicine.com/lessons-only or check out the link in the show notes.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.